Hare Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bottom of 46. The Lord is nirguna, untouched by the modes of material nature. Yet he accepts those modes as his external energy for creating, maintaining, and destroying the material manifestation. These three modes of material nature being further manifest as matter, dravya, knowledge, jnana, and activities, kriya. Put the eternal transcendental living entity under conditions of cause and effect and make him responsible for such activities. So he's responsible because he thinks he's the doer, right? If he doesn't think he's the doer, he's simply an instrument doing on behalf of Krishna, then one is no longer, responsible, right? Because one is being responsible in connection with Krishna, one's not responsible in connection with Maya, right? In other words, you're doing an activity, you're going to get the results. Now the question is why are you, what kind of results you're getting, right? What's the effect of these results? Do they elevate you in consciousness or do they bind you? That's the difference. O Brahmana Narada, the superseer, the transcendental Lord, is beyond the perception of the material senses of the living entities because of the above-mentioned three modes of nature. But he is the controller of everyone, including me, 18 to 20. So he can't be seen because of the modes of nature, because you're going to choose, you're going to view things according to the modes. We're thinking, no, I'm looking and I'm seeing what I like. No, you look and see only what you're supposed to see. Right? That's the fun.
Yes.
Right? Let us say you have let's say you have an 8-year-old and his 30-year-old father, okay? They're walking down the street. And then across the street there's a candy store, right? Big window, all kinds of things in the candy store and all that, right? And they have some new display. Right? But standing in front of the window waiting for somebody is some very attractive lady wearing a red dress and some high heel, doing the whole thing, right? Okay. Now the kid goes, "Oh, daddy, look at the the candy store." So they both turn. What does the daddy see?
Something.
Does the kid even notice the lady? Other than she's getting the way of the display.
Yeah.
You understand? So we say we're free, but you're not. The modes of nature make you see what you're supposed to see according to the reactions of your previous endeavors. Yes.
Can we distinguish between freedom and independence in that freedom from suffering, but never independent?
Freedom from suffering. Oh, it means you're taking freedom now as freedom from material entanglement.
Yeah, when we say...
It means one can't... It's a matter of where you're situated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you're in Europe, okay? Now, you get on a plane and then you're in South America.
Okay.
Right? So you're free from being in Europe.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's it. We're free from the material world simply because we're not here.
Yeah.
We're in the spiritual world, so therefore we're always dependent. It's just a matter of that dependency produces different results. Just like, let's say, you have a child, right? And they're under one, you know, in one foster home. Now the people there in that foster home are very nice and caring. So what's the environment? Yeah, nice. What if he's in one where they're not so caring?
Not so nice.
Yeah. So the point is, it's always dependent, but it depends upon who you're under. So it's not the problem of being in a home. The problem is how nice they are.
Yes.
So it's not a matter of it's a problem if I'm in the material world, the spiritual world. You know, if I'm free or not. The point is that it's nice there, so we're happy there. Here we're not.
Yes.
You know, just we're small. It's just the way it is. We may want to be big, this, that, and say all kinds of things, stand up, yell, scream. You know, but I wave our arms about, you know, beat our chest. We can do all kinds of stuff, but it doesn't make us get any bigger. Right?
Yes.
Ego, yes. Size, no.
No. So this concept of materialistic freedom, it just...
Materialistic freedom is not there.
No.
It doesn't exist, because what happens?
You get entangled, you get attached.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like this, okay. You have freedom here, okay?
Yes.
Okay, there's this one country.
Mm.
We're not mentioning any names here.
Could be.
Right? Okay. And the northern part of it wants to affiliate with countries to the, you know, west of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the lower part of the country wants to affiliate with countries east of it.
Yes.
Okay? And so that's their freedom.
Yes.
But having made that choice, now they need to follow the rules and, you know, political dictations of the country east of them or west of them.
Yes.
So you have freedom to make choice.
Yes.
You know, just like you have freedom to choose to order a plate of fries, but then what are you going to be eating?
Fries.
Yeah. So now you can't, once you get the fries, say, you know, where's my independence? Where's my freedom? I'm being forced to eat the, you know. You can't do that. I mean, you could, of course. It would be... make an interesting drama in the restaurant, depending on what kind of restaurant it is. You can either get thrown out or people just stare at you.
Being that you could get fries in the restaurant, they'd probably just stare.
Yeah, they'd probably stare like that. No, but there is one guy who does it. He takes
yeah.
them, and he, after, I think, cutting them, then he puts them into this machine that sucks
yes.
all the air out.
And
somehow it does something to them, and then he fries them. So you get 8 fries on your plate, stacked up nice. You know, the big, huge
yes.
plate right in the middle with the little saucer on the edge. It probably costs you, like, you know, 50 euros.
150 pounds.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So in there they just throw you out.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But in general, yes.
Yes.
So a lot of people trying to do is to put guilt on the waiter. It didn't give me what I wanted.
Yes, that's all. Yeah, like
yeah.
That. Or the establishment. You know, what kind of establishment is this?
Yeah.
They just sell fish and chips, so there's only 2 things on the menu. You know, but I didn't order the fish. Yes.
Yeah. So.
That's it. Yes.
Maharaj, it seems that those who have a more complex blend of gunas, they see more.
Yes, those see more.
Then for them, they have to engage it somehow in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes.
So their life is much more complex than those people. They don't see nothing and then they're happy.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. So, and the see nothing, that's either the fool or the Paramahamsa.
Yes.
So that means everybody else in between. Yes, it's more complex. But the thing is connecting it, but the process is simple. It's still just connecting it to Krishna.
But that's so many details.
Yes, but the point is they think along those details, so you have to do that anyway. You know? I mean, unless, of course, you know, you're interested in a lobotomy or something, and then life becomes very simple again. You know, but whether you'll be absorbed in thinking of Krishna or not, that's another thing. I'm not sure if that capacity is so much there. Yes, it's just the way it is. That's why the variety is there. That's the whole point, that the Vedic system has this incredible range. And it's all accepted. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the thing is, let's say, we say, okay, well that's... you know, let's say you had something nice. Oh, that's so expensive. You know, we're supposed to be detached. But the point, what does detached mean? Detached means you don't have it, or detached means you use it for Krishna?
Yeah, detached means not for you.
Yes, it's not for you. It doesn't mean that it's not in your control or possession. But we take it, you don't have it. So where would that come from? Either from the Mayavad or from, you know, the, how you say, the Orishan frog. You know what I'm saying? So it either comes from people who have nothing and they're surprised that someone has something. Why should he have? So then I make that comment. Or it's a Mayavad. So the point is it doesn't matter. Someone can have all kinds of facility and use it in the Lord's service. Or have nothing and use it in the Lord's service. So whatever position someone's comfortable in, if it's connected to Krishna, then it should be, it's fine. But like you say, yes, it means the more you're involved, like it says, you're responsible. You've involved yourself in more, so you're responsible to engage more. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that in the spiritual world, there are different realms. And we study, and then Vrindavan, there's so many, it's a simple place, but there's so many details.
Yes.
So then in Vrindavan, whatever is the fault in material, then it reverses, and then yes. You can serve Krishna more actually with all those details.
Yes. See, simple doesn't mean it's not sophisticated. The whole process is simple, that whatever your position connected to Krishna. So if you have one thing you think about, you know, like food, you just have to connect that to Krishna and it's done. If you're more sophisticated, have more things, then you connect all those. But it's just that connection is simple. Sophistication is what range of things you're dealing with and what kind of refinement is there in them, or what kind of detail. So that will be very individual. But yes, Vrindavan, it's simple in that it's all about Krishna. It's not confined by the rules, but it's very sophisticated. It actually has, the subtleties of it are more prominently appreciated. Like, it's like, how much detail do you hear about Krishna's dealings with the queens in Dwarka? Right? Not so much, right? Something is there, but not so much. What about the details of in Braj? Much more details, much more fine. So the more the detail, the more it brings out the depth of that rasa. Like that. So like you said, here that sophistication can drive you nuts. You know, but there it makes it, adds to the flavor. You know, it's, everything's like that. Yes.
In relation to freedom, every jiva here is griping about not being free all the time.
Yes.
But still, it's their reaction, but they actually like to be in. So, I mean, where is the fault?
Where is the fault?
Yeah.
The fault in who?
Why they are griping?
Why they are griping? What else is there to do? You have some alternative?
Yeah, like being satisfied and happy in whatever situation.
But that takes good qualities. That takes training. That takes good association. People just want instant. I want, you know, out of a Ziploc bag, you know, instant hot cuisine. Does it work?
No.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's the difficulty. What we want is not available. You want something nice, it takes work. Right? Rome. Is Rome considered nice?
Rome.
You know, as a tourist spot, is it considered nice? Okay. Was it built in a day?
No.
So that's the point. Yes.
You see that the thinking might be reactive. Unless I put myself in the situation, I won't react in a specific way. So like you're giving the example of the candy store. So then one might go to the platform of artificial renunciation. I remove myself from the situation, therefore I won't react. but then the seed of that thought is still there. So
yes.
Then how does one actually become proactive, but at the same time see the situation correctly? Because many times, I think one time Prabhupada gave the example of habit. I think Brahmananda was there on a train. And then
that was Panchadruvita.
And then when I picked out that lady on the platform.
Yeah.
And he said, just by practice. And was that element of, is that from training or is that just basic?
That's just what means anything. Practice creates habit. And that practice is coming from, you have to have an understanding or an interest. That's why you practice it. When it becomes habit, that's when it's value. Right? So that's why habits are hard to give up. Practice is fairly easy to give up. You know, it's just like your new exercise regime. It's easy to give up because it's only practice. Right? But if someone has a value of that, then they'll figure out how to work it in. So the point is you put yourself in a situation in which you can intellectually understand the value of the new practice you want. So if that means removing yourself from a situation that will only encourage previous habits, the one does that. But ultimately, it's not the removal from the situation. It's from the understanding and practice in the new direction that's proper. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's like the brahmachari. He removes himself from the social scene. And because of that, then he can actually see things as they are and learn the proper practices. Once there's a practice, then he can be within the society and remain fixed. So that's the principle. That's how it works.
All right. In this discussion of simplicity, Prabhupada's this desire for simple living, is that to promote mode of goodness?
Simple living is mode of goodness. Simple living doesn't mean it's unsophisticated. See, generally we take it, simple living means out on the farm, covered from head to foot with cow dung. Right? You know, and then when Richard goes by, then, you know, he's the sophisticated city slicker. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point. Sophisticated, if something can be simple and sophisticated. In fact, generally, something that's actually quite sophisticated is simple. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Yeah. Okay. The living entities are small offshoots of the Lord's personal nature of transcendence. The difference between their position and the Lord's is seen when they fall under the modes of material nature. Maya, as Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 19, is, quote, external energy manifested as if materially produced. Which means that to be bewildered, to be the bewildered soul, that which means that to the bewildered soul, her appearance seemed to have no connection to the Lord. Right? So it appears that the material energy is materially produced. She produces herself. And generally, she produces the soul. Right? But that's the illusion. Because it's only connected. She's only connected to the Lord. Thus, Maya looks very attractive to the jiva desiring independence. So that's the point. When we're worried about independence, means we're worried about Maya. If we're worried about a relation with Krishna, we wouldn't be talking about material independence, social independence, these things. They wouldn't matter to us. Because right? That was the opening discussion that Prabhupada had with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How can we develop in spiritual life when India is controlled by foreigners, right? When we have our independence, then we can focus on our own culture, our own philosophy, our own practices. Right? But it was pointed out, no, spiritual life is independent. That's what's independent. Spiritual situation, that's independent of the material.
Yes.
Right? Otherwise, we wouldn't use it in the context we use it, yes.
So can we say that Maya connected to Krishna, but not directly, but indirectly? Because he's actually glancing at Ramadevi.
Yes.
He doesn't glance at her as Maya.
Yes.
As Mahamaya.
No. Yes. Yes. So it's always, that's why when those things that we would consider material, the connection to the Lord is always through indirect. Those things that are Krishna, or they're spiritual, then we're dealing with them directly. You know, the holy name is Krishna, so we deal directly. The deities are Krishna, we deal directly. Right? But let's say house, family, land, position, power, influence, strength, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, all these are produced from the means of these, how you say, the material energy then manifests these by the through the Lord's by the potency of the Lord. Those are the things then indirectly we're connected to Krishna. Now with practice, that becomes very natural and automatic. So we get the effect like it's direct. So we get into these technical discussions because of the aspects that aren't so naturally connected because of our view. Someone else is easily connecting it, but we're not. You know, it's just like, let's say the, you know, the housewife, she gets the kids into the car and drives over to the temple for, you know, the Sunday program. Okay? Is there much of a need of a connection for the car? What's the car for? Going to the temple. Okay. Now you have the, you know, college, you know, dude going out, getting into his, you know, snazzy car, you know, and driving over to the temple on Sunday. You understand? He has to go through a few steps to get it connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, that's all. The one is, as long as it gets you there and the back's big enough you can stick the groceries in, then that's as much as you need. The other one has got to have this and that and this tire and that tread and this capacity and so many, you know, horses there and all that kind of things. Does that make sense? And it's like, you know, 0 to, 100 in 3.4 seconds. Who does that? Where can you do that? You know, it's called 0 to having a speeding ticket in 3.4 seconds. That's what it's called. But whatever it is, it sells. But,
German.
Huh?
German.
No, but you already have to be doing 100 to not get it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's serious enough. No,
yeah, they can't do that in the city. Thus, Maya looks very attractive to the jiva desiring independence, tempting the jiva to quote-unquote, get involved with her. She assumes the form of gross matter, dravya, material activities, kriya, and material knowledge, jnana. Right? So in the spiritual world, you have the same thing. But that dravya is the spiritual energy. The activities are devotion, and the knowledge there is how to serve Krishna, the relationship with Krishna. There is a higher purpose to these three modes of Maya's appearance that the fallen jivas fail to see. Behind the three modes are three spiritually reformative purposes of creation. So now we're getting the various ways of looking at these three.
Yes.
Right? One, Adibhuta. As the spirit soul, due to attraction to Maya, takes leave of his own nature, he is forced to accept the covering of dravya, gross matter, and become an embodied soul, jiva bhuta. Right? Because you have the bhutas, so jiva bhuta means the jivas who are covered by the bhutas. Right? Mm. We're not talking here about like corn here. You can be covered in corn, but you know, that's another thing. Okay.
If you want.
No, okay. He takes birth, suffers disease in old age, and dies. He takes birth, suffers disease in old age, right? And then dies.
And then dies.
Yeah, okay. Under the rule of karma, he is reborn as a reaction to his first life. In turn, his second life becomes the cause of a third rebirth. The jiva bhuta's reactional rebirths multiply endlessly as long as he keeps up the will for gross sense gratification. Ariyatma. Jiva's sense of self, atma, is transformed from spiritual to material. What follows is the cessation of spiritual activities and the start of a struggle for maintenance in a temporary existence of ignorance and suffering. This struggle initiates the jiva bhuta's karma. Of the three background purposes of creation, This one, adhyatma, is very important because the transformation of his sense of self forces the jiva to ponder, who am I? Three, adhidaiva, the controlling principle, whether the soul is the surrendered servant of Sri Krishna or of Maya Devi. In any case, he is never independent. He is eternal, subordinate. His eternal subordinate nature obliges him to serve and worship somebody. Okay, so these are these three principles of what you're dealing with. Now you notice that the adhyatma, it can either mean the adhyatma meaning seeing the self, but to actually see the self, then who do you have to see?
Krishna.
Krishna, right? Prabhupada says, when the sun comes up, then you can see yourself. You try to see yourself when it's dark, you can't. But when the light comes up, then you can see. So that's why the adhyatma can be either one, meaning either ourselves or it can mean the Supreme Lord. Right? And the adibhuta can mean the covering itself or those who control the covering. Right? Because the covering we're looking at is myself, I'm being covered, or the devatas that are controlling that covering. Does that make sense? Because otherwise the soul is the same, the adhyatma is the same. Right? And then the adhidaiva, we can either be looking at who's superior to us, right? Right? You know, if they're on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, or if it's the demigods, or if it's Krishna himself. Yes?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Okay. Wrong magazine?
Well, that was good. Some people it's good.
Cosmos?
For
more general, GQ. That's too sophisticated. Okay. Time to America. Okay. After undergoing the Adiatma, Adibhuta, and Adidaiva miseries, the very Tapatraya Sunata Goswami spoke of, if a fortunate soul becomes intelligent, he can glimpse that he is not the body, not meant to suffer, and not independent. Right? So, not independent and not meant to suffer go together. Independent, suffer, those go together. Right? So, if you're the body, then you suffer because you want to be independent. If you're not the body, you're not meant to suffer because you're not independent. Right? That's the whole point. We want everything one way. We talk about relationships, we talk about happiness. Happiness comes when you combine two things that are different. But we talk about being happy, but everything should be the same. How's that going to work? Yes?
So is it always the negative because we're in the negative position to begin with, i.e. we're associating with the body, so therefore learning will only come from the negative situation of suffering.
It works. No, the real means real learning comes from association. Because otherwise, one may learn. Means you talk to someone who's been around a while, especially if they've had a tough life. They have a lot to say, and they have a lot of view. But as soon as they leave the body and go to the next, you know, it's not that you can come up to them as a three-year-old and, you know, get some, you know, true direction in life here. It's just, it's lost, because it's just the modes of nature. But what you gain in the association of devotees about the Supreme, now that lasts, that's real. Right? That's why you sometimes see little kids as devotees say things that you don't expect them to. Right? Yeah. Yes?
So I was thinking karmis, they really into independence.
Yes.
They want to be independent of everything.
Yes.
But then as a devotees, we also want to be dependent, but also independent, and then we pick and choose from this, you know, from Krishna. Everybody say yes, of course, Krishna is the supreme, Mahaprabhu is that, Guru there, and then, but then authorities, then this is good, this not, and then how does it work?
The easiest, the best is to choose according to what the acharyas give. What they choose are where you put the identity, what you choose from. That's always best. Then, using that as a foundation, then you can add to it the details of your specific situation. Because otherwise, everybody will come up with some. Because you want to endeavor for something that you have a value in. So then one's conditioning, naturally one has a value. But one can, because of habit, not see it actually in connection to Krishna. We'll say, because it's like this, if I'm a devotee, automatically I'm thinking everything that I'm doing is connected to Krishna. Yeah. And on one level, it can be. The pure devotees, whatever they have, whatever they do, there are different aspects of their identity, everything's connected to Krishna. So that's the natural position. But without having come to that position, take it for granted that everything's automatically. So then, if I'm attached to a certain thing, naturally that attachment is spiritual. So that's the weakness. That's why it's recommended you take with the acharyas. You start from there. Then it at least regulates it in that more. It may be that something you're attached to is the same thing recommended. So yes, you'll have the same problem, but at least it's a mode of goodness problem rather than a mode of ignorance problem. Like that. So that's why the Puranas are there, the history is the examples, what they do, how they live. So you have the generic that will apply to anyone, anywhere within the Bhagavatam, and then the specifics of the Chaitanya Charitamrita for the Gaudiyas, like that. So between those, then you get a very nice... Skip.
We skipped the footnote. Where
after the
after. Oh, yeah, who am I?
Upon his surrender as a disciple of Sri Sanatana Goswami's opening question to Lord Chaitanya were Ke Ami, who am I? And Kena Amaya Jare Tapatraya, why am I suffering the threefold miseries? By the plan of creation, these questions are forced upon the embodied soul. In Gita 10:32, Lord Krishna declares Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Of sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. No. Okay. In his purport to verse 19, Srila Prabhupada comments about the three ways material nature conditions the spirit soul. These are the material manifestations of cause and effect, and the sense of responsibility of the conditioned actors. They are, after all, manifestations of the conditioned state, and the human being's freedom from such a conditioned state is the highest perfectional attainment. Right. So that's the highest perfectional. So we can understand, because perfection is always used meaning not being within the material world, right? Being on the liberated platform. Because it's generally not used in connection to prema. Because not being under the modes is not prema. It's being spiritually situated. So not being under that, that's the highest position of perfection. Mm. Right? That you're completely free, so now you're completely liberated. Yes?
Three ways material nature condition the spirit soul is cause and effect and sense of responsibility.
You could say, yes, cause, effect, and sense of responsibility, but that goes back to the Drava, Jnana, and Kriya.
What's the sense of responsibility again?
That I've done it. I've done the activity, so therefore then the responsibility of that activity is mine.
Taking credit for
it? Yes. Means if you take credit for it, you get the reaction. You don't take credit, you don't get the reaction.
Yes.
It's simple. In his commentary to verse 19, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also explains how the jiva is bound. By the logic of the previous statement, it is possible for the jivas who are situated behind the Lord to be influenced independently by Maya, who is also situated behind the Lord. The jiva is called eternally liberated because he has beginningless knowledge, just as he has beginningless ignorance. How does he get bound? The states of the gunas are present as adibhuta, karya effect, adiatma, karana effect, cause, karya effect, adiatma, karana, cause, and adidaiva, kartritve, activities. The gunas are the shelter of causes of matter. Dravya, the senses, Kriya and the Devatas, Jnana. Okay, matter, Dravya, the senses, Kriya and the Devatas, Jnana. The gunas bind the jiva by these identities. The order of Jnana and Kriya in the text should be reversed for proper understanding. So he's putting the Jnana and Kriya as reversed. Because you can put the Devatas as senses because they control them. Right? And Jnana means through the senses you get knowledge. Right? But he's reversing that, meaning that because it's applying to yourself. If we're dealing with the Adiatma, in this case meaning ourselves, then it's our senses that are doing the Kriya. And that knowledge is understanding how the Devatas and that are controlling everything and how they're controlling by the potency of the Lord.
But that would be the proper understanding.
Yes.
Why reversing the proper understanding?
No, it means because sometimes it's talking about the senses. Who are the senses controlled by? Devatas. And knowledge we'll consider in connection with ourselves, but it's putting the other way around. Is that you may know yourself and may know that I'm here and I exist, but when you understand how the devas are controlling everything and how their power comes from the Lord, that's actual knowledge. And the senses, the important thing, it's not that the demigods control the senses, that is the important thing to know. It's how you are engaging your senses. Otherwise, if I say the senses of Kriya is the demigods, then it's like, well, what am I doing? They're the ones in control of it. I didn't do all this stuff. Right? You know, the hands, the feet, the voice, these are all, how do you say it? The active senses, right? And so those are controlled by the demigods. So actually, if you look at it from knowledge, then the kid can say, it wasn't me who played baseball in the living room. It was the demigods. Right? You know, I'm not sure how long you get from that, you know, but it might work for a few moments. Yes.
I've just read that the soul and Maya behind Krishna. Is that all souls? Are they always all in ignorance?
No. It means when the soul turns its face away from Krishna, because to be with your back to Krishna means you're behind Krishna. If you're facing Krishna, then you're in front of Krishna.
Just because you accept that.
Because Maya is always on the back. So if the jiva turns his back to Krishna, then he is also there with Maya, so he becomes influenced. If he's facing Krishna, then he's away from Maya, he's not influenced.
Just that in the reading, there was eternal ignorance, there's no bigness
in it. Because the jiva being tatastha, he can either take the one or the other, because you're dealing with the sandini shakti, right, the element of eternity. That's the principle. Now, it being manifest, it can be manifest either as the spiritual or the material energy. So, therefore, if you look at Krishna's energy connected to him, you're dealing with the internal potency. You don't, you're dealing with the external potency. Right. Does that make sense? So, it's there. It's that, because the jiva being marginal or being tatastha means that position to function one or the other is always there. So that means the ignorance is there, but you don't have to deal with it. You know, it's just like so many things might be in the mind, but you don't do it. You know, it's like you walk into the mall, there's a nice fountain hole scene and a pool there, and it's really hot. You might, in your mind, think it would be great to, you know, jump in, but you don't. Right, you know, so it's just it's what you do is what's important, you know. So you get to the point where you can walk by without even thinking about it, you know. Does that make sense? Okay. So here we have the Adibhuta, the Adiatma, and Adidaiva, the activities. So you get... Yeah. Because everything's interrelated. Each one has some connection. If they don't have a connection, then they won't relate together. And those air points of connection and what they do in all these, therefore there's elements. Because it's like I said, let's say I'm shopping. Okay? So now what's the... I'm going out shopping. Right? So what am I... When I say that, what do we generally think about? The mall, enjoyment, and what's the... Is there an activity there?
Yeah.
What's the activity?
Walking.
Walking. Paying. Okay. But the point is that can I buy if I don't have money?
No.
So I could say shopping means money. Mm-hmm. But even if I have money, I'm not shopping. You understand? Do we see how the same thing can have the different positions? Mm-hmm. So depending on what you're looking at, you can say, only if you have money you can shop. So shopping means money, right? Yes. The people who are shopping means they have money. The people who are not shopping and don't have money.
The
credit card has to work.
Yes.
Means you can look, okay. Now, you can look at the lower level of the more temporary position of having money, or you can look at the more permanent position of having money.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, just like the temporariness of the individual existence or the, you know, the long-term aspect of the existence of the soul.
Yes.
Right? So if you're looking at the higher realms of advanced shopping, then... You know, you wouldn't want to go shopping and then have the misery of figuring out that you don't have any money left.
No.
Right? Yeah.
Preferably not.
Yes. Yes.
So we can say that those terms, they can be actually used by anybody according to the situation.
Anybody? Or?
I mean, when we discuss philosophy.
Yeah, it means that they may take any of those positions, so you have to see is what's the context of the discussion. Then that's why sometimes you're saying, why is it this is this way and that is that way? Because then it changes.
But why would be Adibhota an effect? Because that we can see.
Because you see it. The Adibhotic means is that what is manifest before us. So that's the dravya. That's the I do an activity, it produces an effect. But at the same time, I can only do an activity with Adibhuta things. But the point is why am I dealing with the Adibhuta? Just because I want to play with the Adibhuta, or because I want an effect in Adibhuta?
Do you have any other choice?
No, but the point is that what you're thinking about? You're thinking about the effect.
Then
does that make sense? So, what is the prominence in the mind? What you're working with or the effect? Yes, so that's why then the Adibhuta will be the dravya. But at the same time as I have to use dravya to do the activity.
Then why would Adidaiva be there?
So therefore, who controls what I'm dealing with? The demigods. Right? So that's why these different things can be moved around depending upon... Right? In other words, I can only work with Adibhotic. I mean, there is only Adibhotic. I do an activity with Adibhotic, and the result is Adibhotic. You understand? So you get off. So it's just a matter of where they're placing it for the discussion. That's the whole point is, well, over the next few cantos, this will be used a lot, so then after a while we get used to it. Okay, even in the midst of material creation, the soul is never material and neither is the Lord. While it is true that for the sake of creation,
The Lord conducts material nature and enacts its laws. He is never a mundane subject visible to the living entities, created senses, and minds. So his being seen is by his mercy, if he is being manifest. You can't see him. It's only by his mercy you can see him. They are unable to approach him as long as they are unwilling to serve him in pure devotion. That's the whole point. When the Jnana Sukriti develops, then we have that position that one's willing to serve the Lord in devotion. Right? So Shraddha means you've developed that faith in this position. Not that you are doing everything in great devotion, but you've accepted that this is the right position. And so you make your endeavors from that platform. Mm-hmm. So those endeavors may or may not be very effective. But the point is you've made that decision. And so, because that's all your consciousness accommodates, you are getting the effect. The Yogamaya potency acts as an impersonal curtain that seals them off from transcendence. Footnote 23. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:25, where the Lord states, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, Yoga Maya, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So Krishna is covered by Yoga Maya. That's why we can't see him. And when we're in that state, if he's covered by Yoga Maya, if we don't see the Lord, it means we're covered by Mahamaya.
So he's double.
Yeah, like that. So in other words, Krishna is covered by Yoga Maya. So that means between you and Krishna is Yoga Maya. But the part that we can deal with, that's the Mahamaya. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then, essentially the same thing.
It's the same person. It's just a matter of how they deal. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have a situation where there's an attractive, popular girl, okay? And then you have the boy she's interested in at the time, right? Okay? Like that. That's the problem with analogies. They have a shortness there, but it'll work, right? Then you have, and she's talking to the boy she's interested in. Now you have another boy who feels he's quite qualified. He's very interested in the girl, right? So he walks up to the girl, right? Does he really notice the boy?
No.
So he starts talking to the girl, okay? Now, how does she deal with the boy she wants to talk to? How does she deal with the boy she doesn't want to talk to? Right? Do you understand? It's the same girl, but two different effects. So the Sarup Shakti, there's two effects. Yoga Maya, Mahamaya. So dealing with Krishna, it's Yoga Maya. We see Krishna favorably, it's Yoga Maya. Right? Just like, let's say, now, take the same scenario. Now, while she's talking to this boy, then that boy's best friend, who deals very nicely with her, walks up. How does she deal? The same. You understand? That's the whole point, is that it's one person, two different offices. So that's the point, is that in between us and Krishna's Yoga Maya, but what we're seeing is Mahamaya. We don't see Yoga Maya. Because if we're seeing Yoga Maya, it means we're seeing what we're seeing in relation to Krishna. Yes?
In our state, when we engaged in direct devotional service, we're supposed to go through
Yoga. I'm just trying to get it back to state, mean not a geographical location. Okay.
Doing direct devotional service, we're supposed to be in touch with Yoga Maya.
Yes.
And then, because our mind constantly changes from direct to indirect, so she would drive her nuts?
No, not at all.
But
why would it drive her nuts?
I mean, because she has to
change. But she's in control of the situation.
But she has to change all the time.
Well, you could look at it from another point. That's why we don't get good reactions. You could also look at it that way, if it works. Right? It's just the way it is. The child, the child is crawling around, and when they're crawling and doing something cute, the mother's very happy. The child is now walking towards something he shouldn't touch. Then the mood changes. But does the affection change? No. So it's just, that's that. So you'll get a response to what you do that is devotion, because your ultimate intent is it's for Krishna. Any devotee, their ultimate intent is that it's to please Krishna. But the medium that they're dealing with to serve Krishna may be attractive to themselves, and there may be elements from that that they want to profit from. That's the mixed part. So you're getting the effect of devotional service because you are doing devotional service, but at the same time you're getting the reaction for what's mixed. So she's dealing with you as both. But so the point is you're dealing with external energy. So being the same person, if it's used for Krishna, she is Yoga Maya, but it comes to you through Mahamaya. Generally speaking, you know what I'm saying? It's that the arrangements you get here are given by Krishna through Mahamaya, because it's that office. It means if you're sitting there on the bank of the, you know, Radha Kund chanting your japa, and you're hungry, and this very, very, you know, you've never seen such a beautiful and attractive girl before, walks up to you and hands you a pot of milk and says, here, drink this, and then walks off, then you might be dealing with someone other than Mahamaya here. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? But it's coming to you from, you know, in here, from the Adi Bhautik that you know here. So that's Mahamaya's arranging, but under Krishna's direction. So the point is, it's still Krishna arranging. Just because Maya gives it doesn't mean that it's a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, because the government can come and, you know, the car can pull up and, you know, the officers can insist that you get in the car. And then they take you down, and then, you know, you meet some, you know, high official in the government and that, and they're appreciating, you know, work that you've done and all that. At the same time, it's the same car could be pulling up with the same officers, and they could be getting out and putting you in handcuffs and giving you the, and reading you the, what is it, Miranda rights, right? Who's Miranda? But whatever it is. Probably it was some guy's daughter, right? Yeah. So, does that make sense? So, it looks the same, it's just the effect. You know, it probably gives the example of the cat. You know, the cat's picking up the kitten and picking up the mouse. You know, one it's affectionate and one it's not so affectionate. Not that the cat likes the mouse, yes.
In a different way.
Yeah, but the affection is expressed differently. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, in his purport to verse 20, Srila Prabhupada explains that the doctrine of impersonalism is also a result of Yogamaya's influence. The Lord is not approachable by everyone because he is curtained by his Yogamaya potency. But one should not wrongly conclude that the Lord was formerly unmanifest and has now manifested himself in the human form. This misconception of the formlessness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is due to the Yogamaya curtain of the Lord and can be removed only by the Supreme Will, as soon as the conditioned soul surrenders unto him. So if you don't surrender, then one will always see like that. So, as we saw, is that all these philosophies, other than devotion, they can only see up to the point of pradhan. They can't see beyond that. So that means you're either basically looking at the principle of Brahma.
Yes.
They can't see, because they can't see the person that's behind that. Right? So they think that's what's there, and so if I'm seeing a person, that's been manifest after from the material energy. Yes.
So that's because they haven't surrendered?
They haven't surrendered. But when you surrender in devotion, then Krishna will allow you to see.
We also say that you can be a Christian and devotee, or you can be Muslim and devotee. I mean, we're not sectarian.
But there's the element of surrender. The point is, devote. Muslim means a particular culture. Krishna means a particular culture. So, but devotee means that surrender and devotion to the Lord. Does that make sense? So, that can be had. So just because you're Christian doesn't mean you're devotion. It would be the natural position. That's what the point of the religion is for, is that you'll be devotional. But it doesn't inherently mean, right? Just like we have a very simple, you know, villager, but he's very devotional, though maybe his practices are not very much. And then you have the, you know, the cliche of the overly materialistic, you know, priest or, you know, bishop or something like that, who all it is about power and money and control. Right? So the thing is the form of it that you're following, that's the medium. So because of the medium, you identify someone like that. Right? Let us say you go down to someone's workplace. Okay? He's wearing white overalls, you know, white tennis shoes, a white hat, and he's got speckles of different colors all over him here and there. He's got a very large paintbrush in his hand, and he's applying that paintbrush with paint on it on the wall. What do you call it?
A painter,
okay. So, right? So that's just because you go by the medium he's there. But the point is he is, you know, doing work. Like that. Does that make sense? So he has a skilled trade. That would be the generic thing. But then still, you call that because there's a skill. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that one is identified by the Adibhuta, the position. So yeah.
Marisha, the covering of the souls in the Brahma Jyoti, is that a Mahamaya or Yoga Maya?
Covering of the souls, meaning?
Well, the jivas that are outside of the material world.
That means they can't see Krishna because of Yoga Maya, but they're still covered by Mahamaya.
That's a Mahamaya problem.
Because they still think I'm the controller and enjoyer. I am Brahman, and I am experiencing Brahmananda. Because these are the two features that they preach about. So they're still under the control of Mahamaya. But they're just under control outside. It's like a dog on a leash. You know, it's like you have a long enough leash, you can be in the house and the dog can be out in the yard. You know, it can work. You know, or you're on the curb and your dog is off the curb. Which is interesting, because that's called curbing the dog, though the dog's not on the curb. Yeah, yes. Is that something? Okay. But once you're not... Okay. Okay. This misconception of the formlessness of the Supreme Personality of God is due to the Yogamaya curtain of the Lord, can be removed only by the Supreme Will as soon as the conditioned soul surrenders unto Him. But she's not using the modes of nature, she's just covering. Does that make sense? So he's still technically within the realm of Maya, but he's dealing with Yogamaya because he's spiritual. Does that make sense? But she's covering him, so he can't see anyway. So it's an incomplete understanding of the Lord. Mm. Yes.
So that's perspective and vision. So from Krishna out, then it's Yoga Maya. So formlessness being seen is that way. But when we see it, then it's Mahamaya.
No, he's still covered by Yoga Maya, but we're affected by Mahamaya. That's why we see that way.
Well,
that we can't see him. He's covered by Yogamaya because he can also cover by Yogamaya and it not be Mahamaya. You know, just like Krishna's covering himself by his Yogamaya, so you don't know that he's the cows and calves. Right? So there's an illusion there, but they're still absorbed in Krishna and everything. Does that make sense? So Balaram's the only one that can work it out. So. The devotees of the Lord who are transcendental to the above-mentioned three modes of material nature can see the all-blissful transcendental form of the Lord with a vision of love in the attitude of pure devotional service. So it's the vision of love. It's not the eyes that are seeing. It's that they're seeing through love. That's why they're seeing. It may be through the medium of your eyes, but it's only by Krishna's grace you're seeing that way. In his commentary to verse 21, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura writes, "It has been stated in verses 11 and 18 that the Lord produces the universe by means of his energy, Maya. Now in verses 21 to 33, the process, Yatashri Shtamidam, is given. Lord Brahma continued. The Lord..." Okay. Right, so it's been establishing who's who. The position of the Lord, position of Maya, position of the elements, the jiva, the controlling through the modes, like that. Now the process is being discussed. Lord Brahma continued, "The Lord who is the controller of all energies thus creates by his own potency eternal time, the fate of all living entities and their particular nature for which they were created. And he again merges them independently." 21. Brahma thus explains the Supreme Lord's control over the primary ingredients of creation. E.g., what's an E.g.?
Example.
Oh, for example. Then what's the difference between E.g. and I.E.? Oh, E.g. I.E. is?
Meaning.
Like this.
And E.g. means for example. And the other one, E.I.?
I.E. is
exemplary.
That is.
I always preferred viz. This is the out of, which just means in other
this
words.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying some more direct. Yeah, dravya. Brahma thus explains the Lord's control over the primary ingredients of creation, e.g., dravya, the five bhutas, karma, activities, kala, time, and swabhava, swabhavo jiva, the acquired natures of souls governed by Maya. Right, the source of the so here the dravya, the five gunas, right, and the five mahabhutas. So that will be the ignorance elements. Then karma is the activities and kala time, because you can't act without time, right? And then it's the jiva who's then experiencing and everything like that. So then you can put him in that position. The source of these powerful ingredients is maya sho, maya yas, swaya. 2.5.21. Maya, which is Lord Vishnu Vasudeva's potency, controlled by him. This Maya, the real or original Maya, is Yogamaya, who, as the Brahma Jyoti, protects the Lord's personal spiritual realm from non-devotional vision. The resting place or pratishtha of the Brahma Jyoti is the transcendental form of the Lord. In this order, then, Krishna's control over the process of creation is removed, yet very real. By remote control through Yoga Maya to Mahamaya, Vasudeva sets the primary ingredients of creation into motion. When the time comes to wind them up, the Lord alone has the authority to merge these inconceivably strong energies, gross matter, eternal time, fate, and the individual natures of the different conditioned souls into the form of Mahavishnu, where they continue to exist as his potency. Footnote 24. Mahavishnu, the first Purusha avatar in the Lord's Leela of creation, is an aspect of Lord Krishna's second Vaikuntha Vyuha form, Sankarsana. The relationship of the Purusha avatars to the Chatra Vyuha are explained in the Bhaktivedanta purports to 4.24.61 and 5.17.22-23. Though the Purusha avatar, Mahavishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, created the whole cause of manifestation,
simply by breathing out all the universes. The Lord creates and maintains. The cause and manifestation is Lord Vishnu. Then, Sankarsana. Then, as Sankarsana, he annihilates the cause of manifestation. Because right? So then you have the... He breathes out, that's the one creates. He maintains in the position of Vishnu. So breathing out, that's the Hiranyagarbha aspect. And then he destroys it as Sankarsana, the aspect of Shiva. Does that make sense? And we were saying before is that, but the whole thing of creation, maintenance, and destruction is done with the modes of nature, with the external energy. Therefore, he's already has that aspect of the potential as Linga, right? So he's that expansion of the Lord whose intent is creation, maintenance, and destruction, right? Does that make sense? So then it's a different mood. So if Krishna in that mood, then he's Sankarsana, he's Mahavishnu. From Sankarsana, Mahavishnu expands. And from Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu expands. Lord Brahma, who was born of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, fathers Lord Shiva, from whom all the other demigods gradually evolve. The Supreme Personality of Godhead controls all the most important demigods, especially Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, exactly as the owner of a bird controls it by binding it with a rope. Okay. So everything's coming out of him, everything's going back to him. So they're very powerful energies, but he still is the control of them. Because it's his desire while they're working. So here's interesting, he's brought out, it's that Brahma Jyoti, that Brahman, which all-pervading, has all those aspects, is Yoga Maya. He becomes covered by that. That's how he's covered by his Yoga Maya. And that means at the same time as his effulgence, he's covered, we can't see him because of his effulgence. Right? So, and then the interesting thing is okay, Brahma Jyoti, now, as far as realms go, who lives in the Brahma Jyoti?
Jiva.
Shiva. Okay. And who's Shiva's wife? Okay. But if you're dealing with Sada Shiva, then you're dealing with?
Vishnu.
No, as his wife?
Rama.
Yogamaya. Mm. Right? So that's where they live. Mm. So that's natural. They live there because they are that aspect.
They all live in Brahma
Jyoti?
Four of them?
Four means? I caught two.
Sadashiva, Yogamaya?
Yeah, that's husband and wife. Means Shiva and Parvati are living on this platform. But we're just talking about, we'll see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Gopu Kumar goes out of the universe. Then in the Brahma Jyoti, then Shiva and Parvati and all their associates are all there, and the Brahman and doing Harinam Kirtan. That's his place. Shiva Loka is there.
Four of them.
No, but why are you saying four of them? It's just like saying, okay, now, okay, we want to invite this particular couple over, right? But problem is we only have place for two people, but there's four of them, right? Because she is who she is, but she's also the wife of the husband, and he is who he is, but he's also the wife of. Husband of his wife, so there's four of them. But then someone else says, no, but you're forgetting they have a kid, so actually there's six of them. Right? You know, so you have your own Mad Hatter's Tea Party. So you can sit there and sip your tea, and the wife says something and says, you can't say that to me. Of course you're my husband. No, I'm sitting in my chair.
Yeah.
Maharaj, it says here that Lord Shiva is controlled.
He's controlled because there's that aspect. We're dealing with these levels. Shiva as a position. There's him who is non-different than Lord Vishnu. And then there is that who is involved with the material energy. Because you have to have that connection. It's just like, how do you say it? You're touching something, you know, let's say with the end of your finger. So on one sense, you're touching, but at the same time, you're kind of like not, because it's the end of your finger. It's not technically like your body. You know what I'm saying? It's like, does that make some sense? You know, so the Lord, it gives us his energy, but he doesn't deal with the energy in that capacity. Does that make sense? The husband, let's say, the husband, his wife, let's say, is a police, right? Okay? Now, she's out on the police force there, you know, catching criminals and, you know, putting handcuffs and sticking them in cars and putting them in, you know, in the, you know, the locked holding cell and interrogating them and doing the whole thing. Does the husband deal with his wife in that capacity?
No.
No. You understand? He deals with his wife, the same person. So Krishna never deals with his energy in the form of Mahamaya. All right? But you can't have energy without energetic. Therefore, there's Shiva. So he transforms to Shiva, who's dealing. So Krishna never deals, but it's not that it's not... There's not a direct line of control.
So the transformation is controlled.
The transformation, that in between, that's because what do you have? You have the material world. Okay? You have the spiritual world. What's in between? Brahmajyoti. Okay? So therefore you have this element. Does that make sense? So when So then you see Shiva's linked with the Brahman realization and things like that.
And he's worshipped by the Brahma bodies.
Yeah, he's worshipped by the Brahma bodies. So because there is that aspect, but technically who they're worshipping is not him. They're not actually worshipping Sadashiva, because Sadashiva is the devotee. And that form is eternal. So they're dealing with Shambhu, who he's manifest and unmanifest. But Sadashiva is always there. So technically even they're not dealing on that platform. But they're dealing in the general area that they got the wrong.
Unless you have a chinta bidhi, you can't go to those perspectives, right?
Yes. But no, even unless you have understand Vaishnava Vedanta, you don't understand. Because all the Vaishnavas can understand these things. And, yes.
So Sadashiva is the one who is related to Mahavishnu, right?
Yes.
And then it also mentioned that Brahma gives birth to another Shiva, so that's Shambhu?
Yes, like that. Because he'll come from here, he'll come from Vishnu, in different ways he appears. But in this pastime is that he asks the Kumaras to, you know, how you say, procreate and fill the universe with living entities, and they say, no, we're Brahmacharis. And so he gets upset. But he's trying to control his anger, but it doesn't quite exactly work, and it pops out of his forehead as the Shiva. But then also from that chakra, Agya chakra, so he's also Guru. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things happening.
And then there's the function of the Shambhu, the destruction of the universe when the time comes.
Yeah, that's there. But at the same time, as that's here, the Dravya, in other words, the manifestation, the secondary creation, that's destroyed. But then the whole thing is wound up into Mahavishnu. So who's destroying? So Mahavishnu, Sankarshan, is destroying. So that has that aspect of that side. You know. You know, like Balaram, he establishes rules or destroys the things. You know what I'm saying? Something goes, you follow the rules, everything's great. You don't follow the rules, then, you know, it's just like Duryodhana and the residents of Hastinapur, then what was going to happen to them when they upset Balaram?
To drag them to Jamuna.
Yeah, he was just going to drag them, the whole city, into the Jamuna. You know, very unceremonious. What happened? He picked up their city and threw it in the Jamuna. That's got to be God, right? You know, it's not like he glanced at them, burned the city, or, you know, the earth opened up and they fell inside. He just picked it up and threw it in the river.
Straightforward. Straightforward.
Yeah. No, it's a very unique. You know what I'm saying? So you have that aspect there. So that's the whole element of these. Yeah. So those are the findings. Yes.
Correct to say that Shambhu is a temporary manifestation.
Means the manifestation within the universe, that's temporary, but the position on which he's based is eternal.
Yes.
Right. Just like the activities and things that go on here, there's the eternal position of those. Yeah. Time is eternal, but it has this temporary, its effect on the temporary. It affects the activities. It affects the dravya. Right? Things, the combination of the atoms that make this particular, viewable object is temporary. It means we're looking at it that, okay, we've made, let's say, the table, but it will go back into the earth. But the earth is also a manifestation, and that will go back into the element of earth, which will go back into Pradhan.
Like Shambhu is for those who want to worship in the mode of ignorance.
Generally, it's those who want benefits like that worship him. Devotees who they're worshiping, it's not that Shiva, it's Sada Shiva. But it's the same person. So therefore, what they would call, you know, when we see what they would see as the regular demigod, we're seeing, you know, the Sada Shiva. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. You know, it's just like some celebrities walking down the street. Nobody knows him. They just treat him like one of the guys on the street. Someone who knows who he is will treat him differently.
It's like Sri Bhaktivedanta, you see all these Durga temples as yoga maya.
Yes, that's all. It's just yoga maya, all these different forms she takes to do her duties. So it's yoga maya who's doing these, but she's doing them to. But yoga maya doing these things, she's called Mahamaya. You know what I'm saying? Just like we say. The lady's at home and she's sitting and discussing with her husband what she called.
What husband?
Yeah. Okay, I wasn't thinking in such progressive terms. Yes, okay. I wasn't thinking that. Yeah, okay. I guess, because I was going to say she's the policewoman, so I guess she's the one with the short hair, and the one sitting at home is the one with the long hair. Okay, it works out.
It works.
So. Yes, but when she at the office, then she's the policewoman. She's not seen as someone's wife. So it comes up in the social context. You know, it says, okay, we're going to have, you know, a dinner of the police. So then, who's coming? Of course, all the police are coming, but then who's the spouses? Right? So then they count. So then she's seen as, okay, a wife, so therefore there's like that. But in the other one, she's seen as a husband, so there's a wife. So, yeah. Either way, there's a part. Yes.
Can we say Shambhu, Sada Shiva? Even Sankarshan is the same person.
Well, Sankarshan is Vishnu, Tattva. But Sadashiva, they're technically
one.
Means when you're getting into Shiva Tattva, where he is in the position. See, Sadashiva technically is Vishnu Tattva. So he has 60 qualities. But when we're getting into when he's dealing within the with Maya, then he's only got 55.
Okay.
But it's just it's capacity. It's capacity.
Somehow you always lose when you deal with external energy, right?
You always lose, yes. That's the point.
What it does.
You can't win, you can't quit, and you can't break even. That's the definition.
That's a bad deal.
Yes. That's a bad deal. Yes.
So on the same topic, what about the rudras?
They're expansions of that of a Shiva here. I mean, he's one of them, and then there's the other ones. Yeah. So done. Yes? No?
I don't know. Sara Shiva is Vishnu Tattva.
He is, but at the same time, he's also in this capacity. So that's where the transformation takes place. Mm.
So he's yogurt.
Yeah, so he's yogurt. How is he yogurt? Yeah, he's cultured. It's not a matter of how many are there. It means the girl is there. How many of them are there?
That's understandable.
But that's how it is. All the difference is that the one person has to do all that, and the other one, he expands, and they're able to do all that simultaneously.
That's also understandable.
So then that's what you're dealing with. You know, just as Vishnu does that, so then you have this aspect of Shiva like that, and Yoga Maya.
Is the confusion coming when we talk about the expansions, the different expansions, we get it?
Yeah, no, it's just a matter of time when one gets used to it. We're only on second canto. You know, and then the fun part is then when we get to the point where we do understand it, then that's the point when we're not worried about all that understanding. We're just absorbed in Krishna. Huh? That's 10th canto. Yeah. Brahma goes on to speak about how, after disillusion, the creation again unfolds. The first Purusha supervises the appearance of Ahankara, or false ego, a characteristic of the ignorance of the fallen jivas. But that's control. But since it's there, it has to be supervised. So who supervises the mode of ignorance?
Shiva.
Shiva, right? So that capacity is there.
So Ahankara is instigated by the mode of ignorance? Or partial?
You can say it's manifest through the mode of ignorance. Because you're talking about the false ego. Is the primary is that of I am the controller and enjoyer. Mm. Right? That's the principle. That's what's beyond the modes of nature. But as soon as one has it, your interaction with the Lord's energy is no longer yogamaya, it's mahamaya. Mm. So in other words, you're directly, immediately under the modes. You can say that the ignorant element is eternal because we're talking it's before the creation, but at the same time it's only manifest through the creation. Does that make sense?
Just to review. So the primary false ego is the controller and joy, that's the polluted consciousness.
Yeah, that's the polluted consciousness. Then you get the specifics of the particular body, the particular mind, and the particular senses that you are able to apply that desire to control and enjoy. Does that make sense? Because this life, it's whatever we have now. Last life, it was different. Right? So every life, it's different. And every jiva and their thing is basically different. There's patterns, you know, therefore if you study it, you can see patterns, social patterns and all that. But it's still unique.
So therefore, Maharaj Parikshit's comment that if you don't remove this...
Yes, you'll just continue to go on, because if I have the one mentality, how long can I stay in that mentality of just Brahman? So in other words, the position where I'm the controller and enjoyer, that's the Brahman state. Right? I can be in Brahman to do that. But I have to apply it. So I can only apply it. I can't apply it in Brahman because there's nothing there. I apply it within the material world. So that means simultaneously. Does that make sense? So that's why the demons in Vrindavan, they're dealing with the external potency. Because they have the desire to control and enjoy. So they're dealing with the Lord's, the Dham and the devotees as objects of enjoyment. So they're Dravya. So what is that Dravya made of? Actually, Mahamaya. Understand? So it's not that Mother Yashoda suddenly turns into that, then there's a covering. Or the gopi, there's a covering. So we deal with the covering. Just like when you're dealing with the person and talking to them, what are you dealing with? Yeah, you're not worried about their kidney or anything like that, right? The conversation may be about their kidney, but you're only worried about the first layer of skin, and you really don't want to go any deeper. Does that make sense? So you wouldn't do that. Well, he's so superficial in his dealings. He's only dealing with the layer of skin. So, no, but this guy's much deeper. He just sees muscles. But he sees the blood. No, he sees it. Like this. And then the final guy, he only sees the ojas. Yeah, so we're only seeing like that. So, therefore, that's what they're dealing with. They're expressing their desire to control and enjoy through the modes of nature. So they're dealing with Mahamaya there, even though it's Yogamaya there. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
How does this work? And why does there need to be these discussions?
Because you're in Maya.
Because we're in Maya. Who's in Maya?
The jiva.
How can the jiva be in Maya?
The consciousness of identifying with this government.
Yes, but how is the capacity there?
Because they want to control joy. And enjoy.
No, that's the control and joy. He's taking a stand. Is Mother Yashoda ever in Maya?
No.
Why not?
There's no need.
No, but why is there no need?
She's in contact with Krishna.
What energy is she?
Yoga. Oh.
She's internal potency.
Yes.
What are we?
Tathasta.
Okay, so now the Tathasta Shakti means you can deal with both, either one of these. So this complication on why it's this or why it's that, that's because of us, right? The question was before, is that, you're more sophisticated, so it gives you more trouble here. On the other side, it's not a problem.
I mean, they don't talk about that.
Who cares? You don't have to, because you're if you're dealing with Yogamaya, you're only dealing with everything on that side. It's just like, Sanatan Goswami, he's dealing, he goes down to the temple, and there's a Shiva Lingu there. Now, there's just been, some Shakta there doing some worship and all that, right? And then Sanatan Goswami walks in afterwards, and then he starts to, talk with Lord Shiva there. Who's he talking to?
Sadashiva.
Who is a Shakta worshipping? Yeah, Rudra, Shambhu, whatever form, called by Ra. They understand all these forms. So they only see that side. So it is simple. There is only spiritual. The external is only a particular inferior manifestation. That's why we can say Yoga Maya is controlling it, because that is who's controlling it. But if you're looking at it from the mundane, then the capacity she deals with you, therefore, is... You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, someone who's cheeky. Does that work? Okay. And then goes up to, you know, how you say it, the boss, you know, comes out and all that. And the guy, oh, hi, and he says his first name. What does the boss say? It's Mr. something to you. You understand? But then, you know, just at the same time as, you know, one of the associates, you know, sticks out and says, hey, Bill, can you know. Does that make sense? So it's a capacity. So if we deal from the internal, then that function or that role is played. If we're dealing from the external, then that role is played. Because technically, the external energy is not Maya. This is because we're making it that external energy is Maya. No, it's external energy in which Maya applies her role. You know what I'm saying? Because people who are, it's just like, how long does the demon last in Vrindavan? Not long. So, in other words, they're immediately removed. So, no one stays in the internal potency and creates trouble. They're immediately shifted to the external. Is that sense? Yeah. So, that's why then it's not that once, that's why liberation or merging into Brahman is not considered something special, because then you're just dealing with that level of Sadashiva and Yogamaya. You're not actually dealing with Vishnu. Right? So even though we understand, that's why we can talk about Brahman, we're dealing about Vishnu. When we discuss Brahman, we're meaning Vishnu is Brahman. Others are talking about Brahman, they're actually dealing with Sadashiva. They're not actually dealing with Brahman because they don't have a complete picture, because they don't see Brahman as connected to the Lord, it's part of Brahman. That's why we don't give much, you know, credence. We talk about the material world, the spiritual world. We don't talk about it because everything's situated in Brahman. So if you're just situated, you know what I'm saying? So even if you're in the spiritual world, if you're just situated, we don't consider that important. Even those who are the Shanta Bhaktas aren't considered that prominent in Braj. You know what I'm saying? They may appreciate, but they're not considered prominent. Right? Does that make sense? It means Krishna's taking care of the cows, but in taking care of the cows, it's just Krishna and the cows? Yes?
No.
It's always Krishna and the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, you know, like this. And then the cows are involved. So they're very much part of the pastime, but the primary is not them. Is that
So could I say that when you have only one option, it's easy. Like if you're internal energy, that's what you are.
No, but it's not even necessarily they are. They're only interested in that. That's not because why would you? It's just like this. Would the, you know, adult connoisseur be interested in going out in the backyard and playing house with the kids and eating some mud and leaves and everything for lunch?
Only if it's his son.
But would he? Yeah, okay. But is he actually going to eat them?
No.
He's just going to make some noise so it looks like it. But now if the kids are sitting out there, in their mind they're actually eating it. They don't necessarily put it in their mouth, but sometimes they do. Depends on what age group you're talking about. Yeah?
For the jiva, there's always the option. The tattva has the option to see Krishna's energy as Krishna's or not.
Or not, yes, that's all. And so, but once you come to the point of surrendering to the Lord, then one is in the fire of the internal potency. So eternally, that's the only way to see it. But for preaching, then generally it's those living entities come here to preach because they've been here, they can relate to it. While the jivas have never functioned within it, then generally they're not the ones that come here because they don't relate to it. So we see only the lead players like Rupa and Rati, they come. But the others, they're from here. Does that make sense?
But the point is, it's once you're there, there's no difference. You don't make a distinction.
Prabhupada mentions that when he says, people see the nature, see the, once you see that, you see
the. He said, it's just like, if there's a piece of iron in the fire that was always in the fire, and there was another one that was sometimes in the fire, sometimes not, but it's now in the fire. Is there a difference between the two pieces of iron? No. You don't make that distinction. You don't really even make the distinction between the iron and the fire. As far as effect, they're the same.
Or even by grip of someone just threw the iron in the fire, right?
Whatever it is, it's there. So the point is you don't make the distinction. It's only for pointing out that if they were in our position and have gotten to there, that means we can also get to that position. That's the only reason it's brought up. But it's not a point of reference. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karana, Dakshaya, Vishnu, the Mahatattva, or the principles of material creation, take place. And then time is manifested, and in course of time the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances. They transform into activities. Material activities are caused by the Mahatattvas being agitated. At first there is a transformation of the modes of goodness and passion, and later, due to the mode of ignorance, matter, its knowledge, and different activities of material knowledge come into play. Right, so you're seeing that it's going down, but it goes back, that ultimately that came because of being agitated. So that was the Lord's glance. Right. So this Mahatattva, so all the different principles come into position. And then the qualities of modes of nature come in. So with the modes of nature, then you see the Adibhuta. So the modes of nature with time, then you're able to get things. So then modes of nature of Kriya, then you can get the Dravya to manifest. Otherwise it won't manifest. Is that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? And then it's still, because it's always going to be through Dravya that you can tell anything else. How do you know you have a result? You got a goal, because there's some Dravya sitting there. How do you know that somebody's making an endeavor to, you know, to get a result? He's working with them. Like that. So you look at it, is it the situation that you're in? Is it the result you want to gain, which is also a situation? Or is it what you're working with, the situation? That's why knowledge, that's why Sankarshan is connected to all of them.
Yes.
Right? So when you're discussing Sambandha, you discuss all the aspects of everything else, because it's connected, because that knowledge goes throughout. Okay? 22-23. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes in this connection, time is the agitator of the gunas. This means giving up equilibrium. Because right, that was the point before us. When the equilibrium is out by the jivas wanting to understand the difference between himself and the Lord's energy, right? Then you have the manifestation. What they miss out on is that the Lord's behind all that, and it's because the jiva wants to deal with the Lord's energy other than as his energy. So therefore, then it throws it out of balance. So therefore, it comes. But that out of balance because the Lord glanced, it's not because the jiva glanced. Right? Mahatattva has all the three gunas, but there is a predominance of rajas and sattva because of kriya and jnana shaktis. From this state of transformation, namely Mahatattva, which has predominance of rajas and sattva, and which is produced by time. Svabhava and karma of substance produced by tamas, ahankar, arises. Okay. Dravya refers to Adibhuta, jnanam to Adidaiva, and kriya to Adiatma.
Okay. So he's getting another combination.
Means maximum you can get is 9.
Why Kriya Adiyatma? Because of the desire to act?
Yes, because the individual is acting. Because you're taking here as driving me the whole world and Gyan and the Adi-Daiva and everything that makes it run. And so then the Adi-Atma, the Kriya will go to the Adi-Atma. Because what you're saying, the demigods is generic, but the specific action goes to the living entity. Is that These are three causes of illusion for the living entities. Okay. So Mahatattva is sattva because it's just existing on that platform. But there's the desire to enjoy. That's the rajas. But there's nothing to enjoy with. So when that then, when you get, it means when the time comes into play there, you get these, but then it produces then the false ego, because you have to have something to work with. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to manifest my desire to enjoy in a position of existence, right, there has to be ignorance. Right? So you have to have something to enjoy with. So the drab you manifest. Right? Just like if I want to eat, but if there's no food, can I eat? So it's just natural, but by time, there'll be something to eat.
Yes.
By the effect of time, then through Kriya, you'll do something and you'll generate something to eat.
Yes.
But you're based in the position of sattva that you exist. But now your existence transfers from that position of knowledge to, because you know, from Vasudeva sattva to that of ignorance in the material world where you think I matter. Does that make sense? Oh, okay. I was like, oh, no. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Srila Prabhupada adds. In other words, the gross matters are Adibhuta. Their maintenance is Adi-Daiva. And the initiator of material activity is called Adi-Atma. Right? So the initiator of material activity is Adi-Atma. So who's the original initiator?
Krishna,
so he's Adi-Atma. But who's the one that initiates all the day-to-day little small-time stuff that we get into?
Magna too.
Yeah, like that. The jiva. So.
Mahamaya?
Yeah, but, okay, yes.
Gross matter is, it's Mahamaya.
Gross matter is,
Mahabhuta?
It's Mahabhuta, it's controlled by Mahamaya.
That's not her.
It's not technically her, it's the external energy. But at the same time, it's non-different. Just like the Srup Shakti is different from the potencies because they are the potencies. But at the same time, as then there's the position of the internal, the external, and then the jiva, or the marginal, the same. You understand? Because, in other words, the Surup Shakti is controlling the marginal position. It's not that the jiva themselves is keeping the body and soul together. Right? That's the Surup Shakti is. Right? So she's that, all those capacities. So we expand from that part. But that's technically part of the internal potency. Right? In other words, a part of the internal potency is the marginal. Because, so it's like this. There's darkness. Is darkness technically its own entity? No. So you can't have the border between light and dark as part of darkness. It has to be part of light. Does that make sense? So you can't have entities, you can't have dark, in the beginning there was darkness, and darkness meaning that it was its own entity. And there were therefore entities in darkness who were dealing with. You understand? When he's talking about darkness, just means there's no light. So there is no creation. You understand? So then there is the desire for that. Therefore, then there's the creation. Now the point is the Lord, it's his energy, so he's expanding it. But it's the jivas who want to control and enjoy it. But it's actually controlled by the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes. Maharaj, after this long loop we come to the first thing, that is light, darkness, and the marginal.
Yes, but the marginal is part of, in other words, the twilight is part of daytime. But it's daytime that's a connection with night. It can be part of that. Does that make sense? So when does twilight stop being twilight? When it's fully dark, it means that there's no more light. So you're not adding darkness, you're taking away light. You understand? So like that, you know, the people like to speculate, so they like to turn it around the other way, and that way then they take the darkness as an entity, and because of this, then you get major, you know, how you say it? Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Yeah, triads. But it means a lot of your, they say, fantasy themes are based on the darkness as its own entity. Mm-hmm. And there are living entities of darkness. Yes. But in actuality, there's only light. And then there's a lack of it. So the living entities that are in darkness are the ones that lack light. But their natural position is back in that there.
Right. Is Mahabuddha that super dense matter that the scientists talk about? The scientists talk about the super dense matter that everything.
They're talking about the manifestation of the matter, because they don't actually know what a earth atom is. Because they haven't gotten to atoms yet. They're still dealing with groups of atoms. You know, so they really don't know, but that's basically what they're working with. Because you put it together and you get these various forms, because there's varieties of them. Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. In the material world, these three principles act as predominant features, namely as raw material, its regular supplies, and its use in different varieties of material creations for sense enjoyment by the bewildered entities. Right? Okay, so the Adibhutas are raw material. Its regular supplies are the Adidaiva. And its use, that's the Adiatma.
Yes.
Hmm? So there's definition. Okay. Here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Janyatai Gaura Premanandi.